The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Thank you, Sean, for leading us in prayer, and thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship today. It's good every Sunday to remember God is still God. He's faithful. And His love is steadfast. He does not change like we do from moment to moment. He doesn't get angry like we do. He's loving. He's faithful. His love is steadfast. And we rejoice in that today. Today we're going to continue in our series in this topic, or in this series that we're calling Give Hope. And we're recognizing the tremendous ability we have not only to receive hope, to find our hope in Christ, but as followers of Jesus, we are here on this earth, in this world today, in this year, in the circumstances we are facing, to give hope to other people. And it's so important that the church is the church, that it represents Christ, and that we give hope to others. So we've been looking at this, and today I want us to focus in on this topic of our words. Our words really, really matter. And it's so vitally important that we see how our words have power to give hope, or our powers can obscure hope or take hope away. And God intends us to use our words, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, to give hope to other people. I want to share this simple truth with you. God wants us to use our words to give hope. And we're going to look through His Word in different places where we can see how God intends on us using our words to give hope. But I want to invite you to remember where we were in the past couple of weeks, because I think one of the greatest dangers we have as Christians is when we think giving hope starts with giving words, but it doesn't. From what we see in Scripture, throughout all the pages of Scripture, especially in the person and work, the life and death of Jesus, that giving hope doesn't begin with giving words of encouragement. And so I want to remind you of where we've been, and that is that there's an order to giving hope, and it starts with loving without condition. Loving without condition, listening with empathy, validating emotions, and then giving encouragement. We see this throughout the pages of Scripture, from Romans 5:8, where Paul says that God demonstrates His love for us even when we are dead in our sins and we aren't even thinking about Him, we're lost and we're in bondage to our sins, God already is unfolding His plan of redemption. Long before our hearts ever turned to Him by His grace, it is His love without condition that we see that draws us by grace through faith into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to us giving hope to other people, as Paul says in Romans, we must not just pretend to love others, we must really, authentically love others. And it's important that we see that this love we need to love others without condition is not a love that is natural to us, because our hearts have been corrupted by sin. No, it's God's love. It's the divine love of God that when we experience that love that calls us by name, that calls us to repent of our sins and to turn to Christ and invites us to be adopted into God's family. It's that love that God gives to the world through us. So giving hope to other people starts with loving without condition. It moves into listening with empathy. There's no greater picture of empathy that we have than in the coming of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, God Himself in human form in the incarnation. There's no greater empathy than to actually enter into our experience and become truly human. There's no greater validation of our emotions than for God Himself, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cry out in agony on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because we've uttered those words at our lowest moments of feeling alone and abandoned to our sins, yet the Son of God on the cross would voice not only the very words of David in Psalm 22, but our words in our lostness. And then He would give His life freely for us, for our sins, for our salvation, and He would rise victorious from the grave, inviting us as we place our trust in Him to die to sin and be raised to new life. That's the good news. Good news. And you know, people need good news today. They need the hope of the gospel. But if they're going to take the gospel seriously, they need to see the church in this order: love without condition, listen with empathy, validate emotions, and then we give good news. And the good news we give is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to, in case you missed out in previous weeks, before we talk about giving words of encouragement, God does want us to use our words to give hope. We have to remember, giving hope doesn't start with giving our words. It's first giving love, the love of God, giving our ear, giving our hearts, caring for people. Then we give the words of encouragement, the good news that people need to hear. We're going to be looking at Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book of the Bible. So if you're new to the faith or if you're exploring the faith, I would encourage you to get a good Bible, a good study Bible, like the Life Application Study Bible. Get a good translation. I love a number of translations. New Living Translation is one of my favorite to read devotionally. And if you're wondering, where do I start at? Read the book of Proverbs. It's one of those great places where you can see not only practical wisdom, but the source of wisdom is God Himself. And the book of Proverbs is really about wisdom. And and I want to talk to you just for a quick second about how we understand what wisdom is and what foolishness is. And it's important that we understand wisdom is applying God's truth to our life, to everyday life, applying God's truth to everyday life. Foolishness, or the way of fools, is refusing to apply God's truth to everyday life. Now, I want to make this distinction, because sometimes we think a wise person is somebody who possesses information and knowledge. But that's an incomplete picture of what wisdom is according to Proverbs and according to God's Word. You see, it's not information that we need. We do need information. But what we need is application of God's truth to permeate every area of our life. Great example is, think about the Pharisees. They had the information. They knew the teachings of the law. They knew the information, but they didn't perceive and understand that information and apply it to every area of their life in the way God intended. So it's important that we consider, what does God's wisdom have to say about our words? And what we can see from the book of Proverbs, as I've kind of looked through the book of Proverbs, want to communicate it to you, it's this. It's that we must resist the foolishness of careless words and pursue the wisdom of caring words. It's going to take great effort, but not our effort alone, great reliance on God's grace and commitment to follow Him, to use our words carefully. Because wisdom, applying God's truth to our life, is to use our words carefully to give hope. And we're going to see from Proverbs that the careless use of words, which is the way of foolishness, does not give hope. It can obscure hope. So we're going to move pretty quickly. Today, this is a fasten your seatbelt moment. I don't often do this. We're going to move through a lot of scripture. And so we're just going to kind of fly over at the 30,000 foot level. We might touch down for a second and then take right off, but we're not going to spend a lot of time. And I'm doing this in part because I want you to get a sense of the scope of what God's Word has to say, in specifically the book of Proverbs, about the importance use of our words. And I think as we catch the path of wisdom, we have an opportunity, hear me, church, by God's grace today, in these next few months, in this divided nation we find ourselves in, to not be the light of the world, but to be a reflection of the true light of the world that gives hope to every person that John talks about. But we're going to have to rely on the grace of God and commit to follow the path of wisdom, which is using our words carefully. So what does it look like to use our words carefully in a caring way? I want to describe how Proverbs talks about this. First thing we see is this, that caring words are helpful. Caring words are helpful. There's a number of passages, but Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words." The lips of the godly speak helpful words. Proverbs 27:9 says, "A heartfelt counsel, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." Caring words are words that are helpful, that lift people up, that provide wise advice, that are truthful as well. That is what helpful words are. As we keep looking at Proverbs, caring words resist gossip and slander. Caring words resist gossip and slander. Proverbs 10:18, Proverbs has a lot to say about this, a lot to say about gossip and slander. Proverbs 10:18 says, "Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool." To slander is to spread something that's not true about somebody else, to intentionally do harm to them. The words of slander make you a fool, Proverbs says. Proverbs 20:19 says, "A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers." Now, gossips spread information. It's not slander. It's truthful information, but it's information that does not build up the person. So it may be words of truth, but they're words that should not be spoken about another person. Breaking secrets is one of the most harmful, hurtful things we can do in a friendship. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with them. And you're going to see this theme in Proverbs that it's so important for us to resist gossip and slander. We resist it in a number of ways. One of the ways we resist it is by not doing it ourselves, asking God to help us to stop our tongue, whether it's spreading a mistruth or whether it's spreading a truth about somebody that doesn't do good to them, that is manipulative, that isn't thinking about the best interests of what it means to love that person, that's proud. But it's also stopping gossip when it comes to us, stopping slander. Look at Proverbs 25:23. It says, "As surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger." Proverbs 26:20-22, this is a helpful image or an illustration we can use to help us think about gossip. It says, "Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops." It's important for us to catch that. Fighting and division continues as long as we continue the conversation. And it may be truthful, but is it glorifying to God? Does it build others up? Does it represent faith, hope, and love that Paul talks about, the greatest of which is love? Is it gospel-centered? Is it God-honoring? Then if we want the division to stop throwing wood in the fire, is what the writer of Proverbs tells us. Verse 21 says, "A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers like charcoal or firelight's wood. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart." Now, we can relate with that if you love desserts like I do. I just celebrated my son's birthday yesterday, and we had ice cream twice in one day. That's a good day, isn't it? And so it was a wonderful day. But you know, once you have the first bite of ice cream, it's almost impossible not to take the second bite, right? And hear me, church, but more importantly than hearing me, hear the word of the Lord. Once we take a bite of gossip, once we listen to a quarrelsome person, once we embrace slander, it's very hard to not take the second bite. And rather than creating unity, we cause disunity. And rather than bringing honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can bring shame to His name. Caring words give life. They give life. We're going to look at a couple of the Proverbs here. Proverbs 11:9 says, "With their words, the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous." So we can see the opposite of caring words. Careless words can destroy the closest friendship, but knowledge rescues the righteous. Proverbs 15:4 says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." So we're about halfway through this list of descriptions of caring words, but I'm just going to pause for a second. Do you see the relevance of God's word to our lives today? Do you see how our words can bring hope or how our words can cause destruction. As we continue to follow the path of wisdom, of what God's word says about wisdom or about using our words, we see that caring words are timely and filtered with humility. Now, I know the older you get, I can say this now because I'm getting older, that filter kind of wears out a little bit, doesn't it? My dad used to always say that. He'd say, I'm old enough now, the filter doesn't work anymore. I get to say what I feel. And there is a sense of which that's true. The older we get, we have a lot more prominence in our voice. But when we look at Proverbs, it reminds us that truly caring words are timely. So we can see that in Proverbs 12, 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Proverbs 25, 15 says, patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. And then Proverbs 15, 23 said, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. So Proverbs 15, 23, it's not important just to say the right thing, but to say it at the right time. And then when we filter our words through humility, we don't speak out of our emotions. We wait. We view things through the lens of humility, seeing our own need, and we measure our words deliberately. Sometimes stepping away from a situation before we speak into it, our words must be timely and filtered with humility. Caring words bring healing. Proverbs 12, 18. Some people make cutting remarks. So again, there's the careless use of words. But the words of the wise bring healing. Caring words build bridges. Proverbs 17, 9. Again, I'm flying over this, but I want you to catch the full scope of what God's wisdom has to say about our words. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Proverbs 17, 14 says, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate, so stop before a dispute breaks out. Verse 19 says, anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disaster. Using our words carefully, we seek to build bridges, not tear down relationships and cause separation even between the closest of our friends. Caring words give encouragement. Proverbs 12, 25. Says worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. And then Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. You can take a breath with me now. I need to take a breath. We just went through several verses in Proverbs, and I'm only touching just the tip of the iceberg of what God's word has to say about the use of our words. But I want to ask you today, I hope this raises the importance of how our words really matter. I believe God's word calls us to commit to resist the foolishness of careless words and pursue the wisdom of caring words. Will you commit today, throughout this season, throughout your life, to resist the foolishness of careless words and to pursue the wisdom of caring words? You see, I'm convinced it's going to take great commitment. It's so much easier to just be acted upon than to react. You know, something happens to us, we just react to it. We're constantly going through acting and reacting and back and forth. But the wisdom of God's word calls us to even bring our words under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to resist the foolish use of our words in an uncaring way, and to pursue the wisdom of God, that we would use our words with care. Where I want to close this morning, I think it's important. It'd be really easy for me to stop here and say, all right, may God give you grace this week as you use your words, as you're in conversation in your family, your workplace, in the home or online, wherever you're using words, try harder, do better. It'd be easy for me to say that, but the gospel never lets us get away with that. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not try harder, do better. It's that we can't do this alone. It's that we don't have the power to change our words. It's that the wisdom that we need is available for us, but it's nothing we can do on our own. And the wisdom of God's words tells us that we need to turn and rely on God's word. So if our words are going to change from being careless to caring words, our hearts must turn from our own way and turn fully to God's word, which is where we experience the grace and the help we need to give hope through our words. Look at Psalm 119, 105. Psalmist says this, Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Then in verse 11 it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not only do we speak a lot of words, we also have a lot of words spoken to us. And if we're going to use our words to give hope, we need to first make sure that the words we are listening to the most come from God and His Word. His Word is a lamp to guide us, to show us which way to go, to teach us how to live our lives. It's a light to our path. Jesus says in Matthew 12:34, hear what Jesus says. This is a sobering truth for us to remember these words that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And then in verse 36, Jesus says this, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus identifies that words express the heart. So you see, church, we cannot do this on our own. Our hearts apart from God are corrupt. They are divisive. That's just who we are. Corrupt by sin, but because of God's grace, as we rely on Him and as we trust in Him, it's not just try harder, do better. No, it's bringing our broken, self-centered heart to God and asking Him to give us a new heart, to cleanse us, to fill us with His Spirit, so that the very presence of the risen Christ would be in us as we believe in Him, and that the words of Jesus would flow through us to other people. The gospel has never been try harder, do better on your own. No, it's trust in the one who is the word of life. It's important that we remember this, that you know what the world needs from the church today? It's not pithy sayings or words of encouragement or a bumper sticker or even sharing a truthful word, a verse. You know what the world ultimately needs is the word of life, the risen, victorious, glorious, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word of God. And I want to warn us during this time, if we give words of encouragement that we think we're giving for God to give somebody hope, but we do not have the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord of our hearts during this time, our words of encouragement, even truthful words, even scriptures, will do more harm, and they will obscure the hope of God. But if we center our hearts and our lives in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we surrender everything to Christ, And we allow Him to be Lord, and we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. And that means this idea of complete surrender to God, where He takes control of our lives, and we live to glorify Him, not to glorify ourselves. Then His Word, living and spoken through us, can give hope to the world. Look at John 1:14. This is the prologue to John's Gospel. John says this about the Lord Jesus, his friend. John, an eyewitness, the inner circle. He watched Jesus for his earthly ministry. He was there, one of the ones who was there at the crucifixion. He was there. He saw the risen Lord. Here's what John says. In the beginning, the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You see, this Word, this living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who was made man in the incarnation, He is the source of light, and He is the source of life that the world needs. And if we're to give true, lasting, meaningful hope to our friends and family that may not know Jesus, to this world that is divided and is full of so much evil, we must truly know personally and rely on this living Word, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look for life and hope in the words of other people, people will let you down. But if you look for hope in the one who is the living Word, He will never, ever fail you. And if we're to give hope, we as Christians must cling to the actual living today person of the Lord Jesus Christ, available to us through the Holy Spirit, that we have, this hope we have. But I want to keep reading, so I think it's important that we don't miss what John says next. Verse 6, it says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Now listen to this verse. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I want to pause there. We just read over that. But this is talking about John the Baptist, the messianic forerunner of Christ. But did you catch what it said there, that John was not the light? His role was to bear witness to the light, the light, capital L, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming into the world. And I think we can take a truth from that that we need to remember. The same way Jesus sends, He chooses. He doesn't need us, but He chooses to send the church out into the world. And He even says that we are the light of the world. And that we aren't to hide that, but rather God intends on using us. And we're that place, this temple being built, as Scripture says, where people from the world can come to find out, they can find this life in this light, in this hope. As we live this, we are to make disciples. We are to go into all the world. We are God's representatives on earth. But there's an important point here. You and me, at best, are lesser lights. There's only one true light. It's the Lord Jesus. We also, our love that we give other people is a lesser love. It's a reflection of God's divine love. And the reason I want to just pause here for a second is sometimes when somebody is looking for hope, we can make a very distinct mistake. When people are coming to us, we're giving them our words, we're giving them our light, we're helping them. But we have to remember that we are not the light. We are a reflection. And the hope that our friends and our family and the world needs is not in me, or it's not mine originally. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And people need to be able to reach through us to reach out to experience the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the true, that first love, that divine love that they need. Verse 10 says, He came into the world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. In verse 14, so the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. We are not the Word of life. We are not the Word that brings light, but we know the One who is. We are a reflection of God's light and love. And if we are to give hope to this world, we must understand that our words have the power to give hope or to obscure hope. And we must resist the foolishness of careless words and bring all of our words under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and pursue the wisdom of caring words. Remember, caring words are helpful. Caring words resist gossip and slander. Caring words give life. Caring words are timely and filtered with humility. Caring words bring healing. Caring words give encouragement. So will you commit with me today, by the grace of God, to resist the foolishness of careless words and pursue the wisdom of caring words? And will you remember with me that we can't do this alone? It's not try harder, do better. We need to turn fully to and rely on God's Word. He is the source of life that we need. He is the source of light that we need. And may we be channels of grace to the world, to the church, to each other, where we might together know and experience the love and grace of God together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to You Lord, with a prayer in our hearts. We would, like the psalmist, raise our voices and say, let the meditation of my heart, O God, and the words of my lips be pleasing to You, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that You would give me and You give us a greater humility. We are so thankful today that we can read these scriptures and hear from You, and each one of us can allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because if we're truthful with ourselves, we know that there are many times in our lives when we have been careless with our words. And sometimes, even in our efforts to do good with our words, we have done great harm. And we are so thankful today that we have Your grace. When we become aware of the hurt our words have done, we don't have to hold on to that guilt. We can come to You. We can confess and say, Lord Jesus, will You forgive me for the words that I have spoken carelessly? We know one day that we will stand before You, Jesus, and we will give an account for every word that we have spoken. And while we all know that we've all spoken words that have not been good, Father, we have a peace in our heart that we know our hope and our salvation is not in the perfect use of our words. No, it's in the perfect word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we gladly in humility confess our shortcomings and the times that we've used our words carelessly. And we would ask today as we receive your grace, we receive right now that forgiveness. Because every time we confess our sins, you forgive us, and we would pause. We'd ask that you not leave us there. Would you give us the grace to experience your transformation, not just in our words, but in our hearts? Because Jesus, you remind us that it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. So Jesus, we desire a much deeper change than just our lips. Would you give us a new heart today? Would you replace the heart of pride and arrogance that we have apart from you, and would you fill it with humility and love and the very love, that first love of Jesus? And we'd ask that you'd help us as a church by your grace to give hope to people during this time. And we know that we can't do that on our own, Jesus. We know the only way we give hope is when we receive hope from you. The love that we give is a reflection of your divine love. The light that we have is only a reflection. So when people come to us, Lord, don't let us be an end or a stop to your grace. Help us to point people to reach through us to you, that the love they see in us would not be from us, but they would see that it's the divine love of God that they need. Father, I pray especially during this season, during this time we find ourselves in, would you help us as a church, would you help me to have words that are seasoned with grace, that are helpful, that are caring, that are kind, that are healing. And Father, may you receive all honor and glory in us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray these things boldly trusting in you, believing that you will help us, and you will change us, and you will use us to give hope to others. We pray these things in your name. Amen.